Well, welcome again. We are finishing up the seven signs of John. You may have felt like we were done with it, but we weren't, actually. And this morning we're looking at Feel the Touch. And this is the Sunday after Easter. Jesus has appeared to the other disciples, but Thomas was not there at the time. And so John chapter 20, verses 24 and following. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at Feel the Touch this morning. And first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this couple who got up one Sunday morning, and the wife was getting dressed for church, and her husband was lingering in bed, and she was very perplexed, and she said, "Why aren't you getting ready for church?" And he said, "I just don't want to go." And his wife said, "Well, give me some reasons why you don't want to go." And so the husband thought for a moment. He said, "Well, I'll give you three good reasons. First of all, the church is cold, and secondly, the people don't like me, and finally, I just don't want to go." And the wife rather wisely thought for a moment, and then she said, "Well, I've got three good reasons why you should go." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, first of all, the congregation is warm. And secondly, there are some people who like you. And thirdly, you're the pastor, so get dressed." just kidding. Have you ever felt like you missed out on something big? Maybe even Easter. Oh, you thought that was really good, didn't you? Oh, man. Oh, sometimes we miss out on something, I suppose, even a pastor. We've been in this series on the seven signs of John. You probably thought we were done with it, because we did do the seventh sign. That was Lazarus, you may recall. It's quite a journey through the Gospel of John, which I think is just one of the most amazing books, not just in the Bible, but in the world. And John gives us an up-close and personal look of so many people who encountered Jesus and had a transforming experience with Christ. He does that so we too can experience Christ as the risen Lord. And so we've been on that journey, and of course, they were all pointing towards Christ, towards the cross and the resurrection. Of course, we talked on Palm Sunday about kingdoms in collision and Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And then last Sunday, we looked at seeing beyond the stone and then Jesus as the divine gardener. And here we pick up the Sunday afterwards, and we see Thomas, who has missed Jesus' first coming, his first appearance to disciples. Anyone ever miss out on anything really big in life? Anyone ever do that, miss out on something? And you just feel like, man, I'm just out of it. And then you think of Thomas, and of course, Thomas missed Easter. I mean, it's pretty big if you're a disciple, would you agree? And of course, Thomas says, once he hears the other disciples, "Unless I put my finger in his hand and the nail print in his hand and feel his side where the spear was driven in, I will never believe." And now he is known forevermore as Doubting Thomas. Have you ever been in a meeting where someone proposed something maybe grand and it was sort of visionary, and then someone sort of threw water on the whole thing and said, "You're just a Doubting Thomas"? You ever been in that moment? And so we think of Thomas. Now, none of the other disciples have nicknames. I mean, other than maybe Peter, who was sort of rocky, but I mean, we don't know him as that, right? So we know Doubting Thomas. And I wonder why that is. I think maybe the reason that is sometimes when we give people nicknames, it's because we see a little bit of them in us that we sort of fear, and we want to push back from that. And so it is perhaps in Thomas that we all have struggled with doubt. Have we not struggled with doubt before? Anyone like myself, and maybe it's an illness that you're struggling with, or even the loss of a loved one, other struggles that we have, and we begin to doubt our faith, or we just feel like things are sort of crusted over, and we wish that we'd have a fresh touch. And the good news is that, you know, when Thomas had doubts, Jesus didn't shun Thomas. The fact of the matter is, on the Sunday following Easter, which is this Sunday, usually a low Sunday for attendance-wise, but Jesus went out of his way to come to the room where Thomas was, and Jesus didn't scold Thomas. Jesus looked at Thomas and said, go ahead, touch the scars, the nail prints in my hands, and go ahead and touch my side where the spear was. Now, there's no evidence that Thomas ever did touch Jesus in that moment. Whether or not he did, he was so overcome with the moment, with the appearance of Christ, that Thomas had one of the greatest confessions of faith of any of the disciples. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And in that moment, Thomas believed. And I don't know if you're like me, but I often feel like my faith is stronger because of Thomas. Because I might have been Thomas. I might have been Thomas even if I was there at the first appearance, because it was so amazing and so revolutionary. And so Thomas is touched in that moment, and Jesus offered Thomas a touch. But I know that Jesus in this moment also seems to look down through history and look right at you and I, doesn't he? And he says this, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and still believed. And it's as if Jesus is sort of looking at us, isn't he, in that moment. And so I wonder, as we sometimes struggle with our doubts, that maybe there are ways that God offers us a touch too. Ways perhaps that, not quite like Thomas, but perhaps somewhat like Thomas, right? And I think of some of the ways that maybe that God can touch us this morning. And first of all, there's a sort of the touch of creation. I don't know, maybe you've been in the nature sometime and you've just all of a sudden felt the presence of God in a beautiful way. And I know myself, sometimes I go down to Turkey Run, one of my favorite places to go. And I was there the other week and feeling kind of tired. And all of a sudden I was just looking around and taking a little walk by the water there. And you could see the flowers that were blooming and the trees budding. And just felt like looking around that you could see God's plan and purpose and all the nature around. And it was just so reinvigorating, looking at the spring coming out of a season of winter and cold and sometimes gloom. And so in that way, I just felt like God was there and sort of saying that everything's okay, and you could feel God's life sort of reinvigorating. And so I think that God can offer us a touch through nature. I think there's another way too, which is a way very much that when you look at this story of Thomas, is that many scholars have noticed that Thomas was not with the community of the faithful when Jesus first arrived. Thomas wasn't in church Easter Sunday, right? But the following Sunday, and it was a Sunday, Thomas is with the community of the faithful. He's with the other disciples, and he receives a touch from the Lord. And many times I think when we're struggling with our faith, and sometimes people say, well, I think my faith ought to be all together when I go to church, and I would say just the opposite. We can struggle with our doubts and difficulties right here in the community of the faithful. And when you're with the family of faith, I think it's very much like this sort of picture of Thomas and the other disciples who are there, and Jesus appears to them and says, peace be with you. He offers them forgiveness and then offers Thomas a touch. And I think in the same way that when we are gathered together to worship, we are together to encourage one another, and we can feel God's peace and God's forgiveness, and we can be encouraged that somehow we can touch each other. And God touches us through the songs, the music, and God's Word, and God's Holy Spirit. And so when we're in the community of the faithful, like Thomas with the disciples, God has the ability to touch us in ways that he doesn't in any other time. And then there's a third way as well, and I think that's, in a sense, something that C.S. Lewis talked about. He said that in this life, we have sort of a foretaste of the life to come. He said we can catch a glimpse of God somehow, and he says it's as if everything here in some way that is good and beautiful sort of helps us to peer into eternity. And so he said when you see a flower blooming and you look at the beauty of that, you're sometimes somehow able to see a little glimpse of the beauty that we can experience in eternity. He said when you feel family, he said there's a way in which you can feel Christ's family in our heavenly home and that experience of family. He said when you hear singing, there's a way that we can sort of peer into eternity and know the glory of singing of God. And so, and he said there's other ways too. He said when you're fellowshipping with one another, there's that fellowship that's there. And he said when you see a wedding and you experience that, it's sort of the glimpse of the wedding feast we'll go to, or a homecoming. It helps us glimpse into a heavenly homecoming. He said, and there's little ways in which we can sort of catch a glimpse of eternity. And so all of us, as we're struggling with doubts, we have those ways and many more that God can give us a touch of Him through creation. God can give us a touch of Him through the community of faith. And God can give us a touch, a foretaste of our heavenly home and faith beyond this faith by the little things, the little glimpses we have in this life. You know, it's interesting that in the seven signs of the Gospel of John, which the last one was with Lazarus, pointing towards Christ's death on the cross, and then we have Christ's resurrection, but we do not have the explanation of the signs until this moment. And that's interesting, isn't it? Now, some people have said, well, maybe this is the eighth sign when Jesus appears to Thomas. I don't know. You can sort of argue about that or not and debate it, but here's the most amazing thing is that John does not offer an explanation of the signs that he has given until this moment when Thomas has struggled with doubt and Jesus has appeared to him. I think as if to say to all of us, maybe, that we too struggle with doubt and Christ can come to us as a sign even when we see signs we sometimes struggle with doubt. Now there's an interesting detail that's here that I really don't even see scholars explain, but here's the way I like to think about it. What's Thomas's nickname? Didymus, which means the twin. Now, we don't know who Thomas's twin is. There's no explanation. We never even get the name of that twin or anything more about that twin. But maybe in some way, we might suggest that John perhaps is suggesting, or maybe even our Creator is suggesting that we're all the twins of Thomas in some time or another, aren't we? We all struggle with doubt, just like Thomas, and we struggle even when those around us believe. So maybe John is sort of whispering to us by not naming Thomas's twin that it's okay if you have a moment to be like Thomas's twin and you struggle with doubt and you can't reach through the darkness. There's a famous book St. John of the Cross wrote about the dark night of the soul and a chapter he went through in his life. But through that chapter, he felt God in a greater present way than he ever did before. And that book has offered comfort to thousands and thousands of people down through the ages. And in the same way, God sometimes whispers to us in the darkness that as we struggle with those moments, that God is there with us. I'd like to close with two stories that I love, and one is just sort of expresses how that sometimes when we're struggling with difficulties, we receive a moment that we might not have received at any other time. So it was during the Civil War, and this soldier needed to leave the military because he had a tragedy at home, and so he needed a special excuse. He tried everywhere, and the higher echelon would not allow him to leave, and so he decided he'd try to get an audience with the president. And so, not surprisingly, he had every door shut on his way. Finally appeared at the White House and tried to get in. Of course, once again, all the doors were shut, and so he went across the street and he sat in a park, and he felt really dejected. Well, a little boy came up to him and said, you know, he couldn't help but notice how unhappy this young man looked, and so he asked him what was wrong, and so this young man began to tell him his story and his family's tragic circumstances and how he needed to be let out of the military, and the little boy said, well, come with me. So he thought, well, okay, and so he follows this young boy, and young boy walks up the lawn of the White House, walks around the back of the White House and goes in. And meanwhile, there's all these dignitaries looking at this young boy and never stopped and never paused for a moment and walks past some generals and they too just let him go and walks into Lincoln's office and Lincoln is talking to the Secretary of State and Lincoln stops and says, yes, Tad, can I help you? Lincoln's son, Tad, said, this young man needs to speak to you. And so this soldier had an audience with the president because of the president's son, Tad. In the same way, I think that's sort of a beautiful picture of us before our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we are struggling and we can't sort of get through the darts and doubts, but Jesus comes to us as God's Son and leads us to our Father. And had we never known the darkness, maybe we would never know the presence of God in that special way. And so I think that maybe that's a glimpse of Thomas in our own lives. And finally, I just want to close with this story. And the story is told of this young boy who was out flying a kite one day, and it was windy and it was cloudy and it was a great day to fly kites. And so the kite went up, 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 way into the clouds, and you couldn't even see the kite up there. And so the boy's just enjoying flying this kite, and this older man walks into the park and walks up to this little boy and asks him what he's doing. The little boy said, "Well, I'm flying a kite." And the man, just sort of making fun of the boy a little bit, said, "Well, how do you know you're flying a kite?" He said, "Well, you know, it's up there." And the man said, "Well, you can't see it. Look at just see clouds and the string." And the little boy thought for a moment. He said, "Well, I know it's far up there, and I know it's still there because every now and then I feel a tug on the string, and so I know the kite is there." And I think maybe that's a way to look at our relationship with God. We can't see God the way we'd like to. Maybe there's clouds in the way. Maybe there are clouds of darkness or difficulty or whatever we're struggling with. But every now and then, we can feel a tug on our hearts, and we know that God is there, and that God is real. So I invite you today to go ahead and have a Thomas moment. God is big enough for your Thomas moments. In fact, God comes to us in a special way. And like Thomas, offers us a touch in various ways, through creation, through the community of faith, and also through foretaste we have in this life. Stop doubting and believe. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, sometimes we do struggle with the difficulties of life or just the pressing darkness of doubt. And we wonder about our faith, not so unlike Thomas. But like Thomas, you come to us even though sometimes the door seems closed, and you appear to us and you offer us a touch. And so for each person here, whatever the darkness and doubts they're struggling with, we pray that you would touch them in a special way, that we too might stop doubting and believe and realize you indeed are the Son of God, and you welcome us with loving arms. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.